You are listening to Press Pass, brought to you by GNAT TV.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of Press Pass on GNAT TV. I'm Andrew McKeever, the news director of GNAT TV's news project, and it's a pleasure to have you with us today on Tuesday, October 12th. It's also a great pleasure to be joined by three folks who are playing very large and important roles in bringing you your local news coverage in the Bennington County and Windham County areas. As many of you know, earlier this year, last May, I believe, the Bennington Banner, the Manchester Journal, and the Brattleboro Reformer were purchased by Paul Bellegore, a businessman who lives in the Brattleboro area, and brought the three papers under local ownership under the umbrella of the Vermont News and Media Company, as the parent company is known. So with us today to talk about how things are going and what are some of the challenges and opportunities that are facing local newspapers in general and the three papers servicing our area in particular, we're really pleased to have with us today Jordan Breckenser, who is the president and publisher of Vermont News and Media. Noah Hoffenberg is the executive editor of the three papers, as well as Upcountry Magazine, which is a bi-monthly publication that focuses on the, I guess one could say, the arts and culture of the area. And that, incidentally, a former colleague of mine back in the good old days at the Bennington Banner umpteen thousand years ago, seems like anyway. Noah, good to see you again. And you've come full circle, but at a higher level, it seems like.
A little bit. I did cut my teeth in Bennington County as a journalist, and very, very fond memories of that time, for all aspects, whether in the newsroom or out on the beat.
Well, all right. Well, good to see you again. And we're also very happy to be joined by Susan Allen, who is the editor of the Bennington Banner, just started at that post, I believe about a week ago on October 4th. She brings a great deal of experience to that job, though. She was formerly the managing editor of the Barry Montpelier Times Argus, also wrote for the Associated Press out of their Montpelier Bureau, and has done many other things as well in the news business. So, Susan, great to have you with us, and thanks to all of you for making the time for this conversation. Really appreciate that.
Thank you.
So, Jordan, I thought we could start with you. Just sort of begin with that main question about what you see as the main challenges and opportunities that are facing small local papers like the Banner, Reformer, and Journal these days. Each one of those three papers serves a slightly different market, I guess it'd be fair to say, but what have you seen so far in the, let's see, 5 or 6 months since the change of ownership has occurred?
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of challenges, to be honest with you. I mean, I think some of the greatest ones for us, for our group of papers, websites, et cetera, is unraveling 60 years of interrelated companies. So prior to Paul standing up Vermont News and Media, we were owned by New England Newspapers, which for all sake of things was a locally owned group of news publications based out of Pittsfield, Massachusetts, however, and that's where primary ownership and management resided. So that I kind of was the biggest challenge for the first time. And prior to that, I should say, we were owned by Media News Group, formerly Digital First Media as well, based out of Denver. So I think the biggest challenge was to finally stand up this group of papers on its own. And those things included undoing things that had been done for 60 years. So that was our number one challenge. Number two challenge was finding the right staffing to lead this charge, myself included, but obviously Noah, Sue Allen, and several other hires that we've made. Management and ownership up until 5-6 months ago had never been local to Vermont. So most things were based either out of Denver or the Berkshire Eagle, Massachusetts office. And then those changes, implementations would be rolled out to these smaller properties. But, you know, in doing so, you gain scale, but you lose its local feeling and to some degree their own identities. So that's what we spent the last few months really doing, is figuring out how can we make ownerships, local ownership, something that feels different, not just feels different for the employees, but feels different to the communities. And I think we've done quite quite a bit of that in a short amount of time. You know, we really did a lot of time talking to a lot of our readers, legacy print readers, younger generation who consumes our news online primarily or through social media platforms, but finding out things that were lacking, things that either had once been a feature of the newspaper that had gone away, or things that people just have come to expect and were lacking with our group, and really identifying which ones rose to the top and finding creative ways to solve those. The challenge that we're facing, that all newspapers of our size and similar markets are facing, is how do you become all things for all people? How do you become and sustain relevancy? And then we have this funny beast, which is our legacy print products, which is ultimately what we're known for, but have become more and more, you know, challenged to sustain with, you know, people reading the bulk of their news online. We're trading, you know, real print dollars for digital dimes. And how do you operate with that transition? To just losing the ability to be part of a larger organization that can make things up in scale and buy services that are really important, but shared across 70, 80 newspapers, it's affordable. And how do papers like ourselves prioritize what assets it needs to be, you know, viable today and viable in the future? So, you know, we definitely realize that print is still a large piece of what we do every day. It's what the bulk of our reporters cover. Our ad staff goes out and sells, and ultimately it's where a lot of our paid readership falls. But, you know, we've been following these trend lines forever since you've been with us, Andrew, and for my, you know, nearly two decades with this company. And you can really see the future, and the future is in a much more digital publishing capacity. So that, in my mind, is the greatest challenge, is how to sustain and maintain that for the time being. Certainly not looking to jump over print into digital too soon or artificially, but being able to bridge the gap and be well prepared for when we come into an era where our digital readership and our digital revenues surpass our print revenues and readerships. And you know, that's definitely what we're focusing on now. And we do that with the help of our staff, who is uber knowledgeable, legacy reporters and folks working here, but as well as we have to do this outside of a vacuum. So talking to our readers, talking to community members, business members, really our job is to serve the community. So making sure the products that we put out are in line with what people expect from us. And I think those are the things that we're currently working on.
Okay. Well, Noah and Susan, over to you here. How do you determine which stories are important ones that need to be covered either today or this hour, or what can wait till later? How has all that process changed over the past decade or so?
Well, I think that part of the process hasn't changed too much, with the exception of now we get a lot more digital information and data on how stories are performing, as opposed to editors' hunches and guesswork. Hunches and guesswork and experience account for a lot when determining what's going to go in a newspaper or on a website any given day. But the data is really what kind of pushes it all home at this point. And one thing that we, and I think all newsrooms wrestle with and are learning to live and deal with and excel at, is making sure that we're producing news that is what people really, really want versus what we determine they need. I think the news industry has long determined what people want, and that's part of the reason why we see a lot of news deserts all over the country. We are a product, just like just about anything you can buy in a convenience store. The paper is one of them, for instance, the print product. And if it's not compelling, if we're not giving people a palpable reason to pick it up every day, we're not thinking about our future at all. It's very short-sighted. We now, as a business, as an industry, I think we're very much in a crucial part of our existence. We're in that, right in the middle of the seesaw, where on one end is print and the other is digital. And so we have to walk and balance a very interesting line where we are catering to the needs of our established print base and constantly in this mode of feeding a news beast that is very close to 24/7. If our areas were a little bit more urban, we probably would have a very
a near 24/7 type of news operation. Just being in a area with lower population and more rural geography, not quite needed these days, but who knows, maybe some years down, 25 years more, we could have some metro feels in Brattleboro and Bennington.
Andrew, I would say that we offer one thing that our readers can't get anywhere else, and that's local news. They can click on a website and get national and even state news to some degree, but they cannot get Bennington, Brattleboro, Manchester news unless they come to our website or our paper. I also feel like I'm kind of typical of who's going to be the reader down the road. If I hear a piece of news, I go to the website immediately, and I'll click back to that website over the course of the day for updates if it's big breaking news. That matters to me. I don't want to wait until the next morning and pick up a newspaper to read something. For example, the schools in Bennington closed today because they didn't have enough bus drivers. We needed to get that out immediately. Parents needed to plan for daycare, and it set off a chain of things that actually impacted people's lives. And that's what the web is fabulous for. It lets us reach those readers immediately. We updated it as we got more information. We didn't have to wait until the morning they woke up and suddenly discover their school might be closed. So we are kind of blessed to have the web as, I think, our future, frankly. I'm sure our future, frankly.
Yeah, I mean, I remember conversations back 10, 12, 15 years ago where the anticipation was that by 2020, let's say, the print paper would be gone completely by this point. But it seems to be still hanging in there, I guess. A lot of people still prefer to read their news in the so-called old-fashioned way, I guess you could say. But is there a point, you think, coming when, you know, hey, you know, it's just either too costly or just too inefficient to deliver news as rapidly as people seem to want to be able to obtain it?
Yeah, I think Bennington County, Windham County, to perhaps a lesser extent, the demographics skew older, and to some extent that helps preserve our print product in a way that is can't be matched in the same way as an area that is constantly getting influxes of younger and younger folks. Vermont had, like a number of states, has long been suffering of an exodus of its younger brain trust, which leaves the audience skewing older. That will change in time in Vermont. So we are kind of in a special little geographic area here. So we're preserved in that way, but the way of the future is clearly the web. And just as a quick, for instance, we have Bennington Select Board on last Monday night. We need to have our paper all wrapped up and put to bed by 10 p.m. Doesn't leave a heck of a lot of time to report, to try to squeak it in before deadline. But if I give the writer an extra 10, 15 minutes beyond our print deadline, he can have it ready for the web, and we can get that and get breaking news out of the Select Board online while perhaps missing it for print for the next day. So it's proved to be invaluable to our news organization. We use it in multiple different ways. We try to, A, have a website that people enjoy and like to visit regularly and have a news habit with. But we also try to reach folks via social media. So we're trying to attract them and inform them through places like Facebook, Twitter, to a lesser extent, Instagram, which is an area we'll be expanding into in the next ensuing year and years. So it's an ever-expanding platform. Newsletters are another way we try to meet people where they are. We meet them either on their phone with a quick text or in their inbox with an email news alert. Any new vehicle that is going to be a solid way for us to get news into the hands and into the eyes of readers, we're going to do. The work itself hasn't really changed at all since I've been in the business. The work stays the same. And that's just diligently covering beats. The vehicle changes a bit here and there when tech gets involved, but it's the message and the work itself still stays the same.
Mm. Jordan, I wanted to return to something you'd mentioned earlier. The fact that advertising revenue via the digital channel is a more of a struggle, or it's not as remunerative as the old print world used to be. And I guess I was wondering if you'd explain to us why that is so. Why is it that advertisers are less, don't want to pay as much, I guess. Maybe that's the wrong way to put it. But you can't, an advertising piece doesn't sell for as much digitally as it did in the print paper.
Yeah, no, certainly. I mean, there's a few reasons why that is, and a lot of it just goes back to legacy. You know, so back, 20 years ago, I'll give you my first perspective. When I first started selling print advertising for a group called the Town Criers in this area, there was really, if you were a business and you were advertising, your number one buy was a print medium. That's where most of the demographics, that's where most penetration in markets existed. So you would buy in a print newspaper ad primarily, and then that was followed by radio and maybe billboards. But that was really only your three choices. Then came along this thing called the internet. And I remember when I first went to a conference and was told we were going to have this website, and all these editors and people looking at each other, like, well, why? We have newspapers. Why would we need this thing called the website? We already get our news and our advertising through our print products. And somebody said, well, it's the future. So here's what we're going to do. Whatever stories you guys do, stick them on this website. Then whatever ads you sell in the print products, allocate 10%, stick them on that website too, and that'll become your, so it felt more like an obligation to fulfill. And at that point, rates were established. I mean, ultimately, there's the challenge of newspapers now. It is highly costly to produce a newspaper. As we speak, the last couple screws are getting installed in a new press we're installing at our printing press at the Pittsfield, Massachusetts location. This press new was well into the millions of dollars, right? It takes many, many skilled workers to run this piece of machinery. The amount of space it takes up, as well as the tonnage of paper, the gallons of ink, this is a major scale operation. And I don't think people really realize that, when you get that paper in your hand for, 60 cents a day delivered to your doorstep, I don't think you realize the magnitude of what it takes to put this on. So, those rates were set a long time ago when there was much fewer players in the market. Newspapers received 75% to 85% of advertising spend. And then we've held on to those rates for as long as we could. Ultimately, our universe shrank. The number of people who subscribed 20 years ago is less than half of what it is now. But the cost to produce it didn't shrink. And it still is costly to operate a press, to rent the space, to hire the individuals, to distribute the newspaper once it comes out. All the things associated, quite frankly, went up in cost to produce. So we've held on to that, those rate cards and those established pricing. We just have less people playing in those sandboxes. Well, then here comes the innovation of the website, and anybody in their parents' basement with enough ability to put together a website and put content on it can now sell ads based on a per thousand based in level. So you have all these players where once it was three, in each market. Now there's dozens, even in Brattleboro, Vermont, there's dozens of people who have blog sites, websites, can put things out and sell ads on there. And then the gorillas, obviously, the Googles of the world, were able to go in there in a much easier way and select your audience, select your regions, buy keywords for your business and only your business, and at the end of this campaign, see metrics and results that really told you what happened. That just shifted people's buying dynamics and where they put their money. So, those are the reasons where we talk about, print dollars. It was costly to buy a full page in a paper, and it's still costly to buy a full page in a paper because it's costly to produce that full page in the paper. It costs fractions of cents to build a website, develop an audience channel behind it, and find a way to monetize it with ads. So really, it's those two factors playing together that really dictate what we get from advertisers and what people are willing to spend in print versus online. I will say one thing, and I say this back to the reason that Paul Belagor bought our papers when he approached me almost a year ago now. It was because he realized that when we covered something, and it wasn't a paid ad, but when we covered an acquisition of his, when we covered a building that was being purchased and renovated, he had more reaction, he had more response when something ran in print than all of the web coverage that he had about things he's been doing here for nearly a decade. So I think that shows you the value of the print newspaper. It's trusted, whereas the web, like I said, anybody in their parents' basement can start a blog or a site. It's trusted. Our papers have over 125, 50 years in many cases worth of history behind them. And people who tend to read newspapers tend to be, educated, intellectual, ingrained in their community. So I think there's a response difference between when you place an ad or an announcement in a newspaper versus when you put it out on the web and who sees it and what kind of response you get from that.
Susan, back to you, if I may, for a second. What's been unique about Bennington that you've noticed so far, in the relatively short time you've been the editor of the Banner?
Bennington is a very close-knit community. It's a tight community. It's a hardworking community. It's bouncing back from COVID. The downtown is doing a lot better. They have new businesses coming, which is very exciting. In my mind, morale is high in Bennington. People are feeling good about the direction that the town is going, the whole county is going. It's a very positive place to work and to deal with people. They're taking a survey of all the citizens and people who work in Bennington to try to get a sense of how people feel about their community, what's working and what isn't working. And they acknowledge that because of COVID, they're getting much more candid and thoughtful answers because the community has really bonded in a crisis over the last year and a half to 2 years. They are very prideful of local news. We try to keep all local news on the front page and as much local news inside as we possibly can. And that means a lot to those readers. I don't think they're unique in that. I'm sure Brattleboro is feeling the same way. And probably the Times Argus, where I came from, is feeling the same way. But I would say that's what I've learned with the Bennington Banner is just, I'm dealing with a close-knit community that cares very, very much about itself and its businesses and its schools and its newspaper. This paper matters to people. And when we change things, we hear. That's a good thing. That's because they care a lot about it. So I have no complaints about that.
And you're changing the location of your newsroom, too. I gather you're not quite yet into the new location next door to the old building?
Right next door. We're going out one door and in another. And, you know, it's funny. That sounds like it's just a physical move where we will just sort of pick up our desks and go next door. It's not. It's what's happening in downtown Bennington. Businesses are looking up. They're improving. They're renovating. There's a restaurant next door. There's a brew pub. It's exciting. They have weekend festivals. We are part of what's going on in downtown Bennington. We're a part of the community. We're a part of the economy. And I think the new location is more than just, walking a few steps down the sidewalk. It's a real symbol that, like the rest of downtown, we're also feeling strong and part of that community.
So Noah, let me throw this one to you. We've all mentioned COVID at one point or another. The last 18 months or so have been challenging for everybody in one way or another. How has COVID impacted or affected how you guys go about covering the news? Is it just a case of more folks or everyone's working remotely or more to it than that?
There is a lot to it. Journalists, newspaper employees, whether you're press room or selling ads, we're all affected by the pandemic, just like regular folks, civilians in the, who are not news. On top of that, part of our jobs for many of us is having to go out there no matter where the news is, whether it's in the ER in a local hospital during a pandemic, accident scene, local school doing a story on a combination of hybrid learning, of in-class, remote. So we're out there with the public. We have employees who have employed almost any work permutation you can think of. We had some folks who held down the fort in the newsroom and worked the entire pandemic from the newsroom. We've had other folks that have worked entirely, and in some cases are continuing to work entirely remotely these days. And we also have probably the biggest bunch right now is the mix, folks who are here either between half-time or near full-time, coming into the office and working a little bit from home. There's some pluses as well as some challenges to having dealing with the pandemic and dealing with remote reporting. One thing is human to human interaction, just like, you know, a lot of us have hungered for it in our regular lives. I think a lot of journalists are probably missing face-to-face interviews, maybe getting a little bit sick and tired of Zoom, even though we're all pretty much experts at it now. I think it forced our hand to be very, very careful with our precautions. One great thing is we're fully vaccinated staff, very proud to say so. And I think we were one of the first companies around here to do that without any type of mandate. It was just a simple ask and everybody obliged, and it helps make it feel that much safer as a workplace, as well as for people stopping by, I think.
All right. Andrew, one good thing about it, if I could just weigh in, is I've discovered since COVID, the public can attend any meeting now. It used to be you had to get in your car and drive all the way to Montpelier if you wanted to sit in on a statehouse meeting, or, you had to go out and, attend a select board meeting in person at night when it's really inconvenient when you have small children at home. You can attend almost any meeting now you want via Zoom and know what's going on in your community without leaving home, which for a lot of people is very freeing and has changed their world a little bit. So I think some of this will extend beyond COVID. I hope so.
Yeah, that's a great point. I've certainly seen that myself, being able to kind of do interviews or have conversations with people that, in the past would have involved a drive to Montpelier or Burlington or somewhere, or they would have had to come down here, which would have meant waiting until they had something else to do, probably, as well. So it's really been a sea change in how that all gets done. Jordan, let me just throw the last question we'll probably have time for today. How has that affected advertising? Have you seen any impact around that in connection with where advertising revenue comes from?
Absolutely. I mean, in the first 3 months of the pandemic, over a year ago now, we saw immediate cancellations of some of our largest buys. So we had a 50% reduction to our ad revenues year over year for about 3 to 4 consecutive months. Spent a lot of time analyzing, what we can do to help mitigate that and when that would return to normal. It has not returned to normal. Lots of businesses, despite, efforts from the government with loans and stimuluses and grants, are still making choices about how do they spend their dollars. And do they do that to retain employees and keep their lights on, or do they fund, marketing and advertising? And at a time when you're having challenges just getting employees to show up to keep your doors open, how much money do you want to invest in advertising to get people to show up? So, we have always been so closely attached to the businesses that support us in advertising. We feel it when things are good and we feel it when things are bad. And things have been incredibly challenged for the last year and a half. And unfortunately, with little, blips on the radar, it has not returned to pre-COVID times yet. And it probably won't. It probably won't. It'll be a very slow transition.
Well, we'll have to leave that all there for today. Boy, interesting times indeed in the newspaper and news world. But I wanted to thank you all again for making the time for being with us today. Jordan Breckenzer, the president and publisher of Vermont News and Media. Noah Hoffenberg, the executive editor of the Brattleboro Reformer, Bennington Banner, Manchester Journal, and Upcountry Magazine. And Susan Allen, the new editor at the Bennington Banner. Welcome aboard, Susan. Good to have you with us.
Thank you. And thanks to all of you
for being with us today as well. I hope you've enjoyed our conversation, and we'll maybe drag some of these folks back again one of these days to give us an update on how things are going in a few months or whatever. But in the meanwhile, thanks for being with us, and have a great day, great week, and we'll see you again the next time.
Thank you for listening local. For more local content, visit GNAT.com. www.bennington.tv.